Winds and heavy rain are expected to hit most of southern Victoria, while Melbourne and surrounds are being warned of possible flash floods. A run of warm days over the past week will end abruptly as a deep low-pressure system reaches the southwest this morning before moving across Melbourne and the high country later in the day. Michael Efrons of the Bureau in Melbourne. And Michael, not just rain on the way.
We will see some snowfall developing above about 1,200 metres later in the day, and the very cold winds. In fact, there is a risk of some damaging winds across much of southern Victoria as that low develops over Bass Strait, especially coastal parts as well as elevated areas. We have already seen wind gusts around 95 kilometres an hour at Cape Nelson.
The SES has called up extra crews for today. Overseas, and the suspect in Stockholm's deadly bear truck attack is a 39-year-old native of Uzbekistan. It was previously on police radar. The country's prime ministers, meanwhile, urged citizens to get through this while strolling through the streets of the capital to chat with residents. Swedes flew flags at half-mast yesterday to commemorate the four people killed and 15 wounded when the hijacked truck ploughed into a crowd of shoppers on Friday afternoon in Stockholm. Prime Minister Stefan Löfven declared tomorrow a national day of mourning with a minute of silence at noon. New South Wales is set to have its first MP who uses a wheelchair, with Labor claiming victory in the Gosford by-election, while the Liberal Party is claiming wins in the seats of North Shore and Manly despite big swings. Labor call five-time Paralympian candidate Liesl Tesch's win shortly after counting began last night, with swings in her favour of more than 10%. Liberal candidate James Griffin claimed victory in Mike Baird's former seat of Manly despite a massive swing against the party. Liberal Felicity Wilson took the seat of North Shore despite a massive swing against her also, and being under fire for wrongly claiming to have lived within the electorate for the last 10 years.
It's been a tough 24 days, as any by-election campaign should be.
Felicity Wilson speaking with the ABC earlier. On the Sunshine Coast, a 31-year-old man has died following a single vehicle crash at Coolum Beach overnight. Just after 11 last night, a car ran off the Sunshine Motorway and crashed into trees and rolled a number of times. The man from Palmview was a passenger and died at the scene. The driver, a 23-year-old man, was taken to Kwana Hospital with minor injuries. A woman's dead after a collision in the New South Wales Southern Highlands. Just before 4 yesterday, emergency services were called to Braidwood Road at Tarago, about 40 kilometres south of Goulburn, after a ute collided with a motorcycle. The woman riding the motorcycle, a 43-year-old woman, died at the scene. The driver of the ute, a 27-year-old man, has been charged with negligent driving. And a mountain bike rider is in hospital with suspected spinal injuries after he came off his bike on a trail near Weldborough in Tasmania's northeast yesterday. The 46-year-old man was stretchered out of the area by the SES and other mountain bikers and was airlifted to Royal Hobart Hospital. The crash happened when he was attempting a jump near the Weldborough end of the Big Chook Trail. This is Air News. In football, a 10-man Melbourne victory have held Western Sydney to a nil-all draw, locking in a top two A-League finish in subsequent home semi-final. In the other matches, league leaders Sydney were held to a one-all draw by Wellington, and Perth Glory limped into the finals with a 3-1 defeat of Brisbane. In league, a hat-trick from Jordan Rapana has given Canberra back-to-back wins for the first time this season in their 42-16 win over Gold Coast. The Titans struggled at home, losing the last five of their six matches at Robina. And this round six fixture was no different, with Rapana scoring a hat-trick within the first 25 minutes of the match. In other results, St George put away Manly 25-10, and West Tigers claimed the points over the Cowboys 26-16. Fremantle coach Ross Lyon's decision to wield the axe paid massive dividends as the Dockers notched a shock 16-point win over the Western Bulldogs in last night's AFL clash at Domain Stadium. The veteran coach axed six of his players after their last loss, with elder statesmen Zach Dawson, Judd Griffin and Daniel Pearce among those out. His punt on news paid off as the Dockers shot out of the blocks and then withstood a Bulldogs fight back to post the 13-11-89 to 10-13-73 win. Richmond, Geelong and Adelaide were among the other winners yesterday. Netball and Melbourne Vixens have rolled to their fifth straight Super Netball win after thumping the Adelaide Thunderbirds 75-54 last night. And it's reverse singles day today in the Davis Cup quarterfinal at Pat Rafter Arena in Brisbane between Australia and the USA. The Americans pulled one back yesterday with a five-set humdinger doubles match to trail the Aussies 2-1 going into today's reverse singles. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather, we've got afternoon showers coming, a storm possibly in the evening, but hopefully only 4 to 10 mils of rain later in the day. We're heading for a top temperature of 27 degrees today in Sydney. Jim, what about at Glenwood and at Gundagai? Gundagai Cup Day this afternoon.
Yeah, Glenwood, a little bit cooler this morning. It is just the 13 degrees. It will get up to that top of 27, as you mentioned. Gundagai, though, the home of the Gundagai Tigers. We love that part of the world. And the temperature today, possible showers, a storm as well, potentially, and a top of just 19 degrees.
The Penrith Mazda 2016 plate clearance is in its final days. This is your last chance to get an amazing deal on a 2016 plated Mazda, including the VT50s in our Mazda Youth Centre, with over 50 youths on display. Come and see the Mazda specialist for unbeatable deals. Hurry, don't miss out. Penrith Mazda has over 150 vehicles on display, so come in and grab a bargain. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer, family owned and operated, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MD18808.
They all descend on the last nag. Johnson secures it, giving his dad the big don't argue. Oh, it's personal now. Dad attempts a late smother, but it's too late. Johnson's already celebrating. Just look at his face. He's chomping at the bit for more. What a beauty.
Make your mark this AFL season with great AFL offers available on your TAB app, online or at your local. TAB, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
In just a few months, English Premier League giants Arsenal will play back-to-back blockbusters against Sydney's finest. On Thursday, July 13, the Gunners will battle it out with Sydney FC.
Then on Saturday, July 15, Arsenal take on the Western Sydney Wanderers.
These two thrilling games are at ANZ Stadium.
The final release of tickets is on sale now.
Some great seats still available, but get in quick. They're selling fast. Go to ticketek.com.au to secure your seat now.
Be part of Victoria's premier weanling and broodmare sale, the Inglis Great Southern Weanling and Bloodstock Sale, June 18 to 21 at Oaklands, Melbourne. Entries close Friday, April 21. Info and entry forms at inglis.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, I think, Darren Flindell, unbelievable is the best way to describe the last 7 days of sport. It's a massive program we've got coming up for you, ladies and gentlemen, and there's a whilst we're enjoying all the sport around the globe, there is a real somber note to today's program as well. Ray and Jimmy up until 10 o'clock, and it's a really big show. Mark Van Gestel coming up very shortly to explain what happened in the Sydney Cup. Peter Tighe is a part owner of Winx. Wow, she's just amazing, just amazing. Having been there on course yesterday, it was just a thrilling experience. Kieran McAvoy is riding superbly and had a great win with Fox Play yesterday. We'll have a chat with Zorb, with all the world of rugby league, and there's lots going on there. Chris Waller has just done a remarkable job. He's been acknowledged by his peers, what he's doing with the horse Winx. Phil Moss, unfortunately Liverpool won again, so we'll have to put up with his dribble throughout the course of his segment. ZNZ Quiz is coming up. Score check on that, Ray, 9-4? Did you win last week?
I thought I did.
All right, because I didn't have that written down. So okay. 8-5. 8-5 then. All right, I have to change that. 8-5. Well done, Raymond. Picked up 2 there, really. Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all the latest. Our legend of the game is back today. Royce Simmons, the great Royce Simmons. You'll be excited about that. Panthers
man.
Yeah, Trent Lanscow from tab.com.au. Tanya with a sports update. Josh McCrone. Oh, Dragons fans. Start getting excited. And we'll speak to Scotty Foster as well from Steve Foster and Sons. So, Raymond, it's a massive program. Massive program. I say it every week, but this week I mean it. The world of rugby league, the world of horse racing. We've got the Masters going on as well. But it is a very sombre note. Unfortunately, on
what was a really great day for racing yesterday with Winks and the people she was able to attract. With the passing of jockey Darren Jones yesterday, that happened just after the running of the mare. Good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, you talk about the highs and lows of sport and of life, and certainly experienced it yesterday. It was a magical day in Sydney, wasn't it?
Oh.
27,000 plus at Randwick, biggest crowd since the new grandstand, biggest crowd for many, many years, bigger than when Black Caviar raced, although the grandstand wasn't completed at the time. And you went from this extraordinary high after watching, again, we say it every time she wins, but
brilliant.
She now is one of the all-time greats, Jim. 17 in a row, two perfect seasons she's now completed, and there's nothing around that can beat her at the moment. So
no.
All things being equal, she'll come back in the spring and thrill us some more. But then within an hour, there was, as you said, the Sydney Cup tragedy, watching our Moonquist at the turn out of the straight. James Dahl was quite injured on the track. Blake Shin trying to help James get off the track when he was
amazing
injured.
Amazing scenes, wasn't it?
The race was continuing. What do the stewards do? There's a riderless horse in amongst the field. There's another horse, our Moonquist, still on the track.
Yes.
A very tough decision for the stewards to make. They made the decision to call it off a no race. Unfortunately, that call wasn't relayed to all the jockeys. So you had the situation of about four or five riders in the home straight riding to win, basically. They thought they were still
six riders.
Six jockeys. Yeah. Yeah, Corey Brown on polarisation wins the cup, only to be told he's pulling up that it was a no race. So understand their dejection. Then, of course, to come back, our Moonquist had to be humanely destroyed, which was awful news. And all this was happening, Jim, and words started filtering through in the press room about the fall at Warrialda and the tragedy of Darren Jones, 48, an experienced country jockey. He's ridden almost 1,000 winners, wife and two children. My heart goes out to them today. He loses his life. And our thoughts are also with Melanie Bowell, who's airlifted from Warrialda Hospital to Gold Coast Hospital
that
overnight.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, her injuries are quite severe. A head injury she sustained in that fall. So to Melanie's family, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And, of course, Leanne Henry was also injured in that fall at Warrialda. So after what was an extraordinary day of racing and to see Winks in her prime, it was just a terrible way to finish the day. I think I rang you last night on the way home about 8 o'clock, interrupted your dinner. I'm sorry, Jim, but it was that sort of a day. And the tragedy of it all just makes you realise that life, you know, each and every day, Jim, you've got to live it and be happy.
Absolutely. So I was there with friends who have been going to the races for a long time. Breathtaking and spine-tingling were the two adjectives that they used to describe watching Winks perform. She was just incredible. To see Hughie Bowman motionless on her, and then she just goes,
where'd you watch
bang.
It, Jim? Where'd you watch it?
I literally got there, so I was working at Brookvale Oval at Lotto Land, and then jumped in the car, met Tracy, because we said literally on Friday night, as you know, because you organised the tickets for me, thank you very much.
And thank you to Tracy at the ATC, it caused her a bit of drama, but
Did it? Oh, sorry, Tracy.
I need some runs on the board there somewhere.
All right, well, I'll try and help you with that. Don't know how, but I'll try and help you with that. But anyway, I got there literally with 3 minutes to go. 3 minutes before she jumped, and was just out the front. Yeah, I know. Just out the front of the old grandstand there in the members section, and couldn't see much because. But the atmosphere, the emotion, and people just. And as I said, these grown men who have been watching racing for 30 years, saying all of these adjectives. I read your story with great interest on Friday from Lloyd Williams and the admiration that he has for Chris Waller and the work that he's done with the middle distance horse, which never occurred
really
to me.
Good point, actually.
Never occurred to me with Black Caviar, Sprinter, Winks,
Not decrying what Peter Moody did.
No. But, you know, Lloyd Williams' insight to say, well, hang on, he's doing it with a middle distance horse. That's incredible.
My good friend Dave Riccio came out yesterday and his opening part of his story is Winks is the horse that makes grown men cry. And it's true. You could see around the track people were emotional. Did you notice when people started clapping, Jim, and cheering? When Hughes eased out pretty wide coming to the turn. There's still 400 metres to go.
Yeah.
But everyone now expects the great mare to burst clear and win brilliantly. And it's extraordinary to watch, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Well, we'll take your thoughts on that. Let us know, 1353-53, if you were there, your thoughts on the day, watching at home. You've got the Broncos winning on Thursday night superbly.
They play well.
Really well. Roosters not good. Bulldogs get home against the Knights, who were gallant. Gee, they were played well. Panthers, it was a one-point Adam Reynolds, front and centre for State of Origin halfback. And then yesterday, Dragons 35, Eagles 10.
I haven't watched that yet.
Just seen the highlights. Yeah. Wow. Raiders thump the Titans. They're just getting into the groove, aren't they, the Raiders? Yes, and the Tigers. Yeah. The Tigers.
How does that happen?
If 26 points to 16.
What have they been doing for the first month of the season? Well, to go out and play like that. Their goal line defence last night, Jim.
Just incredible.
Desperation.
Yeah. So Cleary signs with the Tigers. That happened on Monday. Cronk quits Melbourne. That happened on Tuesday. Yeah. Hazza's re-signed with the Bulldogs as well. George Mimas is very busy because he organises all of those three people's affairs. The Panthers dropped their three stars. And you'd have to say, if Matty Moylan plays on Friday night, they're a better than even chance of winning, right?
They'd win, yeah. But still, you've got to... Discipline's important.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with the decision. Yeah. I just know how impactful it was on the game. But I totally agree with the decision of Anthony Griffin. And Jonathan Thurston gets himself a serious injury, we think.
Yeah, how bad? Any update there?
Well, it looked like a broken leg. It could have been anything.
Shin or something.
Yeah, absolutely. They're saying calf muscle. Okay. So that's anywhere from 4 weeks to 6 weeks.
That can be a troublesome injury.
When you get a little bit older, Raymond.
They caught the old man's injury, don't they?
Exactly, as you know. So there you go. So, well, you are older, much older than me. Anyway, so the point is that that means that maybe Jonathan Thurston may not be there for... We certainly won't be there for Australia in the Test match. And
Queensland?
You would think Queensland now... Maybe we're just hoping against hope, aren't we?
I reckon he'll be there, Jay.
Yeah. So
he'll find a way.
All of that's going on. We better give an update in the Masters too, Roman, because...
Adam Scott's going well this morning.
Adam Scott's shooting the lights out there, and he is 2-under for the day, 2-under for the tournament, but leading is Charlie Hoffman at 6-under. Big turnaround here with Sergio Garcia. Was at 5-under with Charlie Hoffman.
The charge.
Ricky Fowler's there. Jordan Spieth.
Got to 4-under, Jordan Spieth.
He's 3-under now with John Rahm. And Tomas Peters, so there you go.
My board's a fraction in front of yours, Jim. Spieth now gone to 4-under, Hoffman's 6-under, and Garcia's dropped a shot back to 4-under. So Adam Scott got to 3-under now.
He's at 3-under, there you go. He's picked up another bird, so there you go. We'll keep you updated throughout the course of the morning as well. We've got a talk topic, we want to release it. We're going to release it right now before we speak to Mark Van Gestel. But in the wake of Dustin Johnson, who was the favourite to win the Masters, who slipped down the stairs...
He's hired
home. DJ, a couple of years ago, you would have said, really, DJ, do we believe that? Now we do. Yeah. Now we do. Responsible family man and all that. But strange injuries in sport. Mm. Strange injuries in sport.
We're on the same wavelength.
The one that got me was Petrea Thomas, the great Australian swimmer, who dislocated her shoulder turning off the alarm one morning.
Is that right?
That's exactly right. Can you imagine the alarm? She would have just slapped that.
She had problems with the shoulder
that she dislocated her shoulder. And as a result of that...
She would be a great legend topic, Petrea, because she was always in the shadow of some of the great swimmers. But her record is fantastic.
No, her record's exceptional.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Mine, Jimmy, is probably straight from my heart because I reckon this decided the Ashes series. 05, Glenn McGrath, treading on the ball morning of the second test.
Yes.
Remember that?
Edge Baston.
Yes, did his ankle.
Yeah.
Couldn't play. Whole series turned around.
And then Ricky won the toss and still bowled.
I know. Don't go there, Jim.
We're trying to get Ricky on as a legend of the game. But Ricky won the toss. What? You never got Glenn McGrath. Ricky.
Can't turn back.
No, you can't. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break right here. After the break, we'll have a chat with Mark Van Gestel.
Every morning, Racing HQ passes on tips, tab markets, plus the latest racing news. And when Andrew Bensley returns on Tuesday morning at 9, he'll have the latest on the Group 1 All-Aged and Champagne Stakes. Sky Sports Radio, 10:17 a.m. or digital.
At Bingley, we've got a great deal until this Sunday only. Spend $200 or more and you'll get a Bingley bonus gift card worth 10% of your purchase. If you spend $1,000, you'll have a $100 bonus gift card. You'll receive it on the spot and it's yours to spend on anything you like at Bingley. But it's only until Sunday, so make the most of it. Spend more than $200 at Bingley and get a bonus bonus Bingley 10% gift card on the spot. And there's a great deal more in store.
Excludes Asco and Mueller. See bingley.com.au for details.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, one of the most sensational days of racing I've covered in my 25 years yesterday.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah,
much was happening, yeah. And all in a very short period of time. And of course, everything is the tragedy of Darren Jones is uppermost in everyone's thoughts. But at Randwick yesterday, there was so much happening. I thought to get to the bottom of it all, we'd go straight to the man at the top, Racing New South Wales Chief Steward Mark Van Gestel. Mark, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And, well, it was one of those days, wasn't it, Mark? There wasn't a dull moment yesterday.
No, good morning, Ray. It's certainly the highs and lows of racing that was we experienced yesterday at Randwick.
Yeah, I was saying to Jimmy earlier, I don't think I've gone from a high of winks to what was a low when obviously what happened with Al Moonquith in the Sydney Cup. And it was about a half hour after this period when word started to filter through about the tragedy at Warrialda. It was just one of those days when the gamut of emotions went full spectrum, didn't they?
Yeah, they certainly did, right? I guess we all expected to walk away after Winter's sensational win in the Queen Elizabeth, you know, with a bit of a spring in our step. But I have to say it certainly dulled the moment walking out of Randwick yesterday afternoon.
All right, Mark, take us through the Sydney Cup and the way things unfold. Okay, we have just passed the winning post for the first time. We have the fall, jockeys on the track, a horse motionless and a horse on the loose. Mm. At what point, what was the thing or things that encouraged stewards to abandon the race?
As we normally do, myself and my deputy, Philip, then we'll watch the race from the grandstand up next to Darren Flindell's calling box. And as the field made the turn, obviously we had the incident where Al Moonquith unfortunately broke down. And I guess what we needed to consider as to whether there was going to be a risk to the riders or horses, you know, with the horse remaining there just past the winning post, they turned out of the home straight. So they got to about the 1,600 metres, and myself and Philip discussed it as they got along the back straight. I guess we had a short period of time to consider what we'd do with the race. The starters were obviously positioned around about the 800 or 900 metre mark, and that was really the only opportunity we had to make a call for the field to pull up. So when Al Moonquith stayed in that position, there was really the potential for it to move and head back towards, head on into the field. And at that point in time, still both Blake Shin and James Doyle were still positioned on the track. And look, we just felt that was the only decision we could make at the time. Yeah, it was a big call, but safety first. And if I had to make the call again tomorrow, I would.
You understand, Mark. Mark, just a quick one. We had one of our listeners actually SMS us. The ambulance, where was the ambulance at this point?
So the ambulance is a position. There's one position on the home turn and one position near the start of each race. So until such time as we could actually get the horses off the track, the ambulance wasn't able to attend to those riders. But we have an ambulance supervisor also positioned in the Mountie enclosure, so he was in a position where he could make his way to the fallen riders as well. So at any point in time at Randwick, there's ambulance officers in three different strategic positions of the track.
Yep.
So, Mark, if you say the decision is correct, then surely the application of the decision needs closer scrutiny, because it didn't work, because six horses and their riders rode out the race as if it was a live event.
Look, I'd have to agree somewhat with what you say, Jimmy. The riders all indicated that they did, in fact, hear the call. I know that Corey Brown had indicated that he felt that there were just the clerks of the course were issuing a warning as opposed to saying pull up, so that's something that we'll obviously review now, having regard to what took place in that race and whether there's systems that can be put in place, such as emergency sirens and lighting that can be put in place to give riders some surety. I think that's something we'll obviously work on in the future, that you know, every incident like this, you go back and do a, you know, a full review of what took place, and that potentially could be one, you know, one recommendation from what happened yesterday.
Is there a flag system like Formula One where you say, okay, if there's someone there on the track and they're waving a red flag, that means the, you know, pull up and stop? All those sort of things, I guess, have to be assessed now, Mark.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's always been a practice in the past that to use the clerk to the course to, in that situation. Then, you know, we have a number of races that we conduct all around the state where, you know, fields required to, you know, run two laps of the track, and it's been general custom and practice that the clerks of the course are utilised. But yesterday probably highlighted the fact that, you know, there's a necessity to review that process and put in place adequate systems to give riders some surety as to, you know, what their requirement is.
Mm.
Mark, what happens going forward now? Can the Sydney Cup be rerun?
Look, that'll be a matter of race in New South Wales and the Australian Turf Club to discuss. I'm sure that there'll be an appetite to try and, you know, run the race again. It's a race that's steeped in tradition and history, and I'm sure the club will be looking to go ahead and, you know, reprogram it if that is possible. But, you know, I'm sure that they'll sit down tomorrow and, you know, discuss, I suppose, firstly, you know, what horses are still in a position to go forward and run on the race if it's to be conducted in the near future, or whether it's rescheduled for another time, but that'll be a decision that, you know, I'm sure will be made tomorrow.
And just finally, Mark, the tragedy at Warrialdie yesterday and the sad passing of Darren Jones. I understand Melanie Bolwell, the young apprentice, is also in a fairly serious condition now in a Gold Coast hospital. Can you give us an update as to her condition?
No, all I can really add, Ray, is that she was airlifted to the Gold Coast hospital, and as you say, she remains in a critical condition with some serious head injuries. So, look, our prayers and thoughts are going out to her and the families of both riders. And, we'll continue to monitor the situation today. And if there is any updates, we can release to the public. But at this point in time, nothing further than what's been released by Race in New South Wales already.
Okay, look, Mark, I really appreciate you coming on this morning. It was a tough day yesterday, a tough night,
thanks,
and a tough day again today. But our thoughts and prayers with Melanie's family as well.
Okay, thanks, Rose.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Van Gessel there, Chief Steward. Yes, a very difficult decision yesterday around a somber time there for those people involved in racing. But just need to get some clarity around that, because in the end it was... It was strange the way that Sydney Cup played out. 1353 53 is the open line number. Let's go to callers right now. Dougie is there on the line. G'day, Dougie.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Yep. Really well, mate. What do you got for us, mate?
I just want to talk about young Mosley, who's playing for the Tigers, and he's going to Parramatta. Do you reckon he's going to go to Parramatta after the Tigers won yesterday?
Well, if I was the West Tigers, there is no way I would let Mitchell Moses go to Parramatta under any circumstances, for season 2017.
Yeah, so it's just too soon, I think. What's his name? The coach won't let him go yet.
No, and look what happens when they play so well last night. You know, if they keep saying, oh, well, we want to maintain this season and we don't want it to see a drift like it did last year, well, hang on to him, because he's a good player and he's going to win your games.
It's up to the manager too. It's running him too, isn't it?
That's a keen observation, Doug. It's very much up to the manager of... Mitchell Moses.
Yeah. Did you get your DVD?
Of course I did.
Doug.
Just got it here.
Just arrived. He's opening it.
Look at this.
Speak.
Oh, man.
The Raw
2009. The best of 2009.
Wow.
I got it.
Oh, got it.
Well, thank you very much, Doug. That's fantastic.
We better send Doug out
kids,
something.
Mate. Yeah. Yeah, send me something.
We'll
what
send you.
DVD?
Hey, Doug, you a Roy Orbison fan?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Roy Orbison DVD coming your
beautiful
way, Doug.
Courtesy of Sony Music.
Yeah.
Well done. Good on you, Doug.
You might get
Doug.
You one at Christmas next time. You never know.
Oh, you know what? Funny you should mention that, Doug, because myself and the boys, and in fact Avery gets involved as well, we do a lot of wrestling at home.
There you go. The boys will love that. They'll love watching that.
Yeah. I'm your fellow from Forbes, just to do wrestling, called Sonny Dalton. He's been in the old wrestling many years ago, Australian wrestling.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah, it's a rich history of wrestling in Australia. It's rich history.
Who was your favourite?
Oh, it's too old for me. I know that
Mario
Mike Cleary used to be the commentator.
I remember it.
Yeah. Mario Milano. I remember reading stuff about Giant Haystacks and all that.
That was his name.
Giant Haystacks was in the UK.
Well, Haystacks Kowloon was out here.
Was he? Yeah, okay. Anyway. Why was Haystacks so popular?
Big men.
Yeah, but Haystacks is a real English thing. You didn't really do
that. That's
anyway.
True, yeah.
Anyway, 1353-53, the open line number. Kim is there. G'day, Kim.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Really
morning,
well.
Kim.
That's good. I just had the question about the ambulance.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because the gentleman said that there was the two ambulances and then the third from the mounting yard. But perhaps, given where the positioning of the start was for the Sydney Cup, which is a little unique, those two ambulances were too close together, because there was no ambulance attended the guys at the two fallen jockeys until well after the race.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Kim.
My naked eye, it looked like one jockey helped the other, and then they assisted, like, trying to walk back to the mounting yard.
Yeah.
So that's something I think that needs to be reviewed.
Good point, Kim. We did have Mark Van Guest on earlier, Kim. I'm not sure if you heard him, but...
I did, actually, yes.
So there were...
I think he said there was one at the position of the starting gate,
yes,
and one at the home turn.
Yes.
But given, I think, is the starting gate for about the 800 or 900 metre mark.
Yeah, just around the back there, just before.
And
the
then
home
the so the two ambulances were about 300 metres apart. Mm-hmm.
Kim, were you there live at the track, or were you watching?
I was there live.
Yeah, right.
It was the worst thing I've seen. Other terrible falls, where both terrible injuries to horse and human. But that was the worst, that it seemed to be no one was attending to the jockeys and also the horse immediately. No one, I guess in the old days, people used to jump the fence. Horsemen would jump the fence and at least stop the horse from injuring itself further or running away, which is the worst thing that you can see. But it seemed that, you know, just with the eyes of everybody, so many people, they're so happy.
Yeah. Well, Kim, it's a good point you make too, because it's the biggest crowd that has been there, as Ray mentioned, since the new grandstand has opened. Biggest crowd for a long, long time. But I totally agree with you. It seemed like an eternity that Blake Shinn and James Doyle were there and making their way off the track. He was up Doyle, then he was down, and then Shinn was helping him. There was a guy jumped from the corporate marquees. There's a guy jumped the fence there and went to Al Moonquith. Mm-hmm. But the really somber thing, the eerie thing about Al Moonquith was... He sat down and he didn't move. He didn't move. He just knew. And it was only after about 30 seconds that he got up again. But by that stage, people were running towards him. But it's a really interesting point you make, Kim. And as Mark said, all of these things will need review after what happened yesterday. All of these things need review.
I should point out James Doyle after the race was okay. He did walk back in the jockey's room. He was sore and bruised, but he did tell the press he was okay.
Right, time for a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After that break, we'll come back with some race replays. We'll speak to Peter Tighe, Karen McAvoy. It's a full program.
Every Thursday morning at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio, it's Chinwag with Cozzy. Sean Cosgrove chats with the characters of racing and explores their special moments. Thursday mornings, catch Chinwag with Cozzy on Sky Sports Radio. International racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. Team Earth, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
My 3 weeks worth of the man shake, and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
There's a medical problem affecting millions of men, but we don't talk about it. Let's call them performance problems, and problems getting or maintaining you get it. Thing is, most guys would rather suffer in silence than risk an embarrassing appointment with a doctor or chemist. But there may be a cure, and finding it is as easy as talking to the professionals at Men's Health Clinic. Visit mhc.com.au or call 133-MHC to get this fixed today. Men's Health Clinic, 133-MHC.
An absolute joy to be here.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Some spectacular action though, Jimmy, yesterday, and a memorable day at Ramwick for so many reasons.
Yep.
But firstly, of our race replays, this is a Group 1 race in waiting, I think, Jim, the Arrowfield Sprint. It's developing as a really significant race. Darren was impressive for the Hayes camp and Tom Davening.
And into orbit leads from Global Glamour. Crafty Cop in third. Glenor the outside. Then Tactical Advantage. Further back to Saracino on the outside of Impending. Star of Monsoon. Then the Grey Tribal Wisdom. Further back to Darren Sprite. Defcon's last. A bunch coming around the turn. Into orbit is just the leader from Global Glamour. Crafty Cop's got room on the fence. Tactical Advantage is looking for a splitter. Further back to Glenor, Saracino and Tribal Wisdom. Global Glamour is the leader. Got about a half in front of Into Orbit. Here's Darren lengthening. So is Defcon the outside. Global Glamour in front of Darren. Then came Defcon. Darren's going after Global Glamour. And Darren races to the lead narrowly. Global Glamour keeps on fighting, but Darren's got it done. And Darren draws clear to take out the Arrowfield. Went on to beat Global Glamour. Impending rattle home in a photo.
Good run from Global Glamour. Better run from Darren too. And I like the Darren, the nickname. The name, of course, it's out of a Hinchinbrook. So as soon as you see the name, you think, hang on a minute, what's going
super
on here?
Super stiff Impending third.
Yeah.
She was stiff.
Yeah.
I wonder if John O'Shea may back up any All Age. I didn't actually ask him that yesterday, but that's a horse who's crying out to win a race Impending. So wherever he goes next, watch for him.
As the name would suggest.
Correct. The ATC Australian Oaks, Jim, this was a spectacular race. The Squirty Spirit doing what she does.
She does
best.
It every time.
Yeah, she's great to watch. Perfect Rhyme, Brave chasing them. Hugh Bowman out the back. Taking it easy on Bonneval, made a long run. Have you seen a stronger staying performance?
Harlow Gold, Bonneville running on, and Devise has to switch course into the straight. It's the Squiddy Spirit in front. She's a length clear, but Perfect Rhyme is starting to gun her down now. England is shooting for his second Oaks, but here comes favourite Bonneville, the New Zealand Oaks winner. She's putting in big stride. Perfect Rhyme being tackled by Bonneville, and away she goes. Murray Baker's going to win the Derby Oaks double. Maestro Murray, Bonneville bolts in from Perfect Rhyme and Lasquetti Spirit. Five off to Harlow.
Bit of alliteration there from Darren Flindell. Maestro Murray, Bonneville bolts in. So yeah. Very nice. We like that. He's a freak,
Darren Flindell.
Murray Baker. 20 Group 1s in Australia.
A genius.
And Hughie Bowman said that was, well, what was his best ride for the day? That was a betting medium.
Okay.
I think Winx was probably his best.
Winx, yeah.
So you think Caulfield Cup.
Oh, Jesus.
Ginger Nuts at $15, along with Humidor and Jamaica. But Bonneville,
$26.
You like
Oaks
that?
Winning fillies as four-year-old mares, getting with good weights. They're invariably very hard to beat. And that was the strongest staying performance I've seen in Oaks in many, many years.
There you go.
Murray Baker produces 2 3-year-olds to win the Derby and Oaks double at Randwick with John Snow last week into Bonneville. First train to do so since Clary Connors with Research back in 1989, won with both races. But she is a stunning filly, Bonneville, and watch for her in the spring. Talk about stunning.
Yeah.
Let's just sit back and listen to Darren Flindell, Winx, one of the all-time greats.
Bowman hasn't moved a muscle. Doyle has on Hartnell. Here she comes, Winx. Moves up on the outside of Hartnell. Then the United States and Happy Clapper. But away she goes now, Winx, in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. She's put 2 lengths on Hartnell. Then Excess Ferry, Sense of Occasion. She's racing royalty, this mare. There's 17 in a row. The grandstand shaking. She wins it by about 4.5 to Hartnell. Sense of Occasion, third. The United States, fourth.
Just incredible. Just incredible to be on the track, and that sort of prompted the late call. Sorry about that.
That's
about,
okay.
You know,
you're watching history, aren't you?
Yeah, you won't get a chance again. So may not get a chance again, so let's make the most of it while we can.
I don't want to embarrass Greg Radley, but you're probably in the car on the way down, but Greg and I were talking after the race, and Greg said, well, I was a bit emotional after the race. I had to sort of check myself, do your job, and Greg said exactly the same. He had to say, hang on, I've got to go and start interviewing people, and but she is. You're watching history. You're watching one of the all-time greats.
Well, hang on. Where is she? Because Lloyd Williams said was it Saturday, your article? Kingston Town. He's got her up there with Kingston Town.
People are comparing her now with the King, who for most of us is the best horse we've seen in over that distance range.
Yeah.
And what else can she do? She beats good horses effortlessly, Jim, and that's the mark of a champion. And
yes.
Comparing horses to different areas is an impossible task, but I haven't seen one better, put it that way.
Hartnell's won over $4 million.
He's a great horse, Hartnell.
And poor old Hartnell.
He tries his heart out.
Yeah, and you know what? She's a chance to win a third Cox Plate. She's a $1.60 chance.
What's the second favourite, Jim?
The second favourite is Ginger Nuts at $21.
Have you ever seen a major Group 1 so dominated by one horse? That's what she does.
I'll tell you what the brother-in-law did yesterday. Winx, in Hartnell, exacta. $2.70 it paid. He said, look, that's not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Jim, Winx Jr. won yesterday.
Oh, here
Little
we go.
Winx, Fox Play. She was terrific for Denise Martin and Chris Waller in the Queen of the Turf Stakes.
And first seal being cuddled just from Silence Edition. Danish Twist seeing plenty of daylight. So's El Lua as the leaders go to the middle of the track. Dixie Blossom's being shoved on further back to Fox Play. 400 out. It's first seal just in front of Silence Edition. Then Dixie Blossom's and Danish Twist. First seal still in front. Silence Edition. She's in for the fight on the inside. Silence Edition going to first seal. Dixie Blossom's first play. They're hitting top gear now. Fox Play and Dixie Blossom's. Zambar with the last shot. Fox Play hits the lead from the fast finishing Zambar, and Fox Play takes it out. Fox Play beats Zambar. Dixie Blossom's third in front of Silence Edition.
What about a nickname, is it Little Winx? You'll accept that.
They're
Fox
stable
Play.
Next to each other back in Chris Waller's stables.
Rare.
Yeah.
You know what they say? Well, if you lie with dogs, you catch fleas. So if you hang around Winx, you might catch
That's
speed.
What Denise was saying. She was hoping some of Winx's magic would rub off on Fox Play. Well, it did yesterday.
First group one for Denise with Chris Waller.
Correct, yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So well done to all those connections there. And, yeah, she is a very, very good horse. What will Fox Play do now? Spell?
I think she might. We'll ask Chris Waller shortly. I think she's had a fairly lengthy campaign. Probably spell now. Not a lot much for unless they go to Brisbane and try for a Queensland Oaks. But I don't think Chris thinks she's a stayer just yet.
Well, that's why he took her out of the Oaks and back to the 1600.
Jim, one of the great races in the world overnight, the Grand National of 83. This is a great sight. One for Arthur wins the Grand National.
They're racing towards the elbow in the National, and it's one for Arthur out in front for an historic Scottish success, chased hard by Cause of Causes and Jamie Card. One for Arthur, and Derek Fox, though, are over three lengths clear. They've got a half furlong left to go in the National. It's one for Arthur. Cause of Causes isn't getting any closer. Only the second ever Scottish trained winner of the National. One for Arthur for Derek Fox and Lucinda Russell. Win the National. Cause of Causes second, and heroic effort from Centaur in third, Black Line in fourth.
Lucinda Russell, Lucinda trainer wins.
There you go. It is a famous race. How many years has it been going?
Oh, hundreds.
Grand National?
I'll never tire watching the replay of Crisp, the great Australian steeplechaser.
Right.
In the 1973 Grand National, he led by 100 yards. He was a mile in front.
What happened?
He had a massive weight, and Red Rum just kept chipping
the
away.
Great Red
chipping
Rum.
Away. No one knew he was a great Red Rum at the time.
Right, right.
And he wore down Crisp. He had this massive lead and got him in the shadows of the post. One of the bravest runs ever seen by Crisp. Unbeknownst to everybody at the time, Red Rum came out the next year, won another Grand National, ran second in 75, second in 76, won his third Grand National in 77. So probably the all-time greatest caught Crisp on the line.
He's the Jordan Spieth of the Grand National.
Yeah.
Never worse than second. Incredible.
Anyway.
There you go. Now, just looking at the Everest market here, Chautauqua, $4.60 favourite. She will reign and Winx at $8. She Winx at 1,200 metres?
I spoke to Chris Waller about this. Yeah, and he did say the only reason she would go to the Everest is if something happened early in her preparation in the spring, which caused her to be behind and the Cox Plate was out of play, because the Cox Plate's just 2 weeks after the Everest. And
you couldn't do that.
That's the big goal for her, to try and equal the King and have three Cox Plates. Well, why don't we ask one of the owners who had a tremendous day yesterday. I think Peter Tye's on the line there. Yeah, Peter, good morning.
Morning, boys.
Yeah, congratulations, Pete. Thanks for joining us. And well, it was a sensational day for so many reasons yesterday, but could you get an opportunity to soak it all in, Pete?
Oh, mate, it's a pretty big thing, I tell you. It's sort of hitting home a bit this morning of what actually happened, and reading articles and watching, you know, things like the crowd and the the way the day unfolded. Couldn't have been any better for horse racing and for us, I suppose. But it was just a special day.
Oh. I was going to ask you, Pete, do you get nervous? But I'll rephrase that. How nervous do you get?
I mean, it's more the anticipation.
Yeah.
It's such a two-year trip with this horse and winning the 16, now 17 races, that the anticipation of everybody. You know, we had so many family and friends there. Our owners, our co-owner, Debbie Capitis, had all her family there. And then our other owner, Richard Treweek, he's from Sydney. He had 39 of his family there. So you take along a lot of people, and they all, whether they're horse people or not, but they anticipate that you just got to turn up to win. And as you know, that doesn't happen. There was sadly some tragedy there at Randwick yesterday with the loss of a horse.
Yeah.
Which is what happens. And you know, can I also mention, you know, how bad it is for young Darren Jones, the jockey that was killed yesterday. And, you know, as a horse racing enthusiast, you know, our heart goes out for his family, and it brings you back to reality of what, you know, these guys are going through, the Hugh Bowmans of the world and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I just thought it was worthwhile or very special to mention that because while we're ecstatic and having a great time, there is always a great leveller for everybody, and yesterday that was it.
Yeah, well said, Pete. It certainly was. The end of the day was quite sombre. Pete, if I can take you back to the race itself, and I was mentioning to Jimmy earlier, I don't think I've ever seen crowds start clapping, applauding and cheering a horse 600 metres out or approaching the home turn because they just know this horse is going to win. It happens with Winks every start. It happens yesterday louder than ever. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, we were. We were standing, my wife and I were standing down on the fence, and it's the way that it sets it up for that sort of finish. I mean, honestly, she, you know, put them to bed the top of the straight, and she looked like she was going to win. So, the, you know, the momentum with the crowd builds and builds and builds, and it's just it's a phenomenon to be standing there listening to what's going on. So, you know, and she gets to about the 200-metre mark, and, you know, what can you say or do? I mean, she just puts the opposition to the sword, and, yeah, just a great feeling for everyone, I think.
Pete, do you have any say in what might happen next? Do you leave that all up to Chris? Does he actually engage you in those conversations? How does that work?
Oh, mate, it's been a long time. Like, he's planned these things out months in advance. He's already planned the Cox Plate attack for the third time. I mean, he will have. It's not, well, I say it's not hard, but you know, he will. He works backwards. So you know, Cox Plate's the end result, like it was yesterday. The Queen Elizabeth. He'll go back 3 months, I suppose, and then start planning, you know, when she'll come back into work and what he'll do with her and what races he's going to target, and he'll give himself some options. Mate, I've got no reason to get involved with the planning. I mean, I think he's handled it pretty bloody well now.
It seems to be going all right, that
two
bloke.
Perfect, yeah.
I'd only be a spoke in the wheel if I started opening my strap up and saying I want to race in the Everest, so I want to race somewhere else. So,
The Everest, I know Jimmy's
$8 in the market,
and she's second favourite, but I think Chris explained it pretty well to me late last week, Peter. Unless something went wrong early in her preparation, the Everest just doesn't fit in terms of getting her ready for a third Cox Plate.
Mm. It does, and you know, I know the Everest, it's a great race. It's a great concept. You know, I'm, as a racing enthusiast, I'm 100% behind it. But like last year, we got invited to go to the Pegasus, like a $16 million race in America. But it doesn't fit into a program. So as much as it's all nice to talk about $16 million and flying to America and doing all that sort of stuff, it's a bit pie in the sky. So as you said earlier, if things were to change, and it's like the weather, you know, we're dealing with animals and it doesn't always go the way you want, but it would have to make a huge turnaround, a change to go for the Everest. So we'll be... I'll be wishing everybody the best, but you know, at this stage, Winks won't be there.
I like to look at things from a commercial point of view at times, Pete.
Here we go, Pete. You're sitting down.
No, I'm not going to talk about the prize money. I think it's over $12 million now, isn't it?
Well, that's $10
million. $10
million? The Everest, yeah.
No, I'm talking about the Winks.
Oh, Winks, sorry.
Grand
Tour.
Yeah, $12 million. But everywhere I looked yesterday, there were blue caps. Now, 8,000, I believe, in total. Where does that money go?
Oh, look, that was a great initiative of the ATC. They have made stubby coolers and pins and the caps, and they do it for charity.
Oh, so do they really?
It goes to the, I'm not sure, Ray, you're probably the animal welfare. Animal welfare, and, you know, they put a lot of time and effort in using this to the best advantage, not for themselves, well, you know, the crowd is testament to that, how good it is for the club. But, there's a lot of side beneficiaries that benefit from, you know, the sale of those caps and things like that. You know, and they've been, not only in New South Wales, but I know they've been sold in Queensland for the benefits of race clubs or jockeys trusts and everything. So there's a lot of things that they're good for.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, Pete... I don't know, it's just an incredible feeling. It's a great ride that you're on.
Privileged to be there to watch.
And to be honest, I'm just amazed at the response that this horse gets from the crowd. It must be thrilling for you in every way, shape or form. Really appreciate you coming on the program this morning, Pete.
No, thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much.
There he is, Peter Tye, part owner of Winks. Imagine that on your CV. Part owner,
nice guy. He's a very humble man as well, too.
Yeah, fantastic. Great to have him on. A break, and then we're back with more, including Karen McAvoy.
Royal Randwick has a special finale to autumn with two Group 1s, the All Aged and the Champagne Stakes.
The first horse this century to take out the Fernhill Champagne Double, prize like on Winter.
Saturday morning, get the latest from 6:30 on Sky Sports Radio, 10:17 a.m. or digital.
Favourite ice cream?
Strawberry.
Species of cat?
More of a dog man.
Movie?
Easy. Die Hard. All of them.
Huh. Okay. Your favourite horse to win this weekend?
Well, there's Wildfire. She's a great filly. Oh, and there's Black Truffle. She's a proven galloper. And you can't forget Suave Fella. He always powers home. I mean, that's like...
Can't choose between the horses you love? Bundle all the runners you love into one price. And if any of them win, you win with Tab's Bundle Bet. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
In just a few months, English Premier League giants Arsenal will play back-to-back blockbusters against Sydney's finest. On Thursday, July 13, the Gunners will battle it out with Sydney FC.
Then on Saturday, July 15, Arsenal take on the Western Sydney Wanderers.
These two thrilling games are at ANZ Stadium.
The final release of tickets is on sale now.
Some great seats still available, but get in quick. They're selling fast. Go to ticketek.com.au to secure your seat now.
The champions of racing face off for one last day at Schweppes All Age Stakes Day, Saturday, April 15 at Royal Randwick. Celebrate the finale of the Sydney Carnival with the Group 1 Schweppes All Age Stakes and Moët & Chandon Champagne Stakes. Buy your tickets to experience hospitality and entertainment that can only be found in Sydney. Visit www.theatc.com.au.
It's Jon Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat up Harper's Choice. Hardham is surging at them. Jon Snow in front. Jon Snow from Harper's Choice's game. Jon Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Just giving you an update on what is the latest in the Masters. And now we've got Charlie Hoffman on top at 6 under, Jordan Spieth at 4 under, along with Sergio Garcia, Justin Rose, Adam Scott, Ryan Moore, Ricky Fowler and Tomas Peters on 3 under.
Mm.
So there you go.
Adam Scott's had a good round so far.
Had a very
three
good
under
round.
For the day.
Very good round. Sharon on Twitter, if you want to send us a tweet, at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND, says, use flags like Formula One, talking about the Sydney Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Reckon jocks kept riding Polarisation and Penglai Pavilion as they're leaving for overseas on Monday. Well, let's find out if that was the case, because luckily enough, we've got jockey Kieran McAvoy on the phone, of course, not just to talk about the Sydney Cup, but also his great win on Fox Play in the Coolmore Legacy Stakes. G'day, Karen.
Morning, boys.
Yeah, good morning, Karen.
Let's talk about Fox Play first up. Not a bad nickname, Little Winx, and you did very nicely to win, although had to work hard in the end.
Yeah, it was great to get her home. She's as you said, she's got the nickname Little Winx, and I think that's about correct. She's a little star in her own right, and she was deserved of a Group 1 success. I feel she's been putting up great efforts throughout her career and more so this preparation. And, it was a good effort to drop her back in trip down to the mile yesterday by Chris and his team, and wonderful to get her home.
Yeah, she's very genuine, isn't she, Karen? And that was your sixth Group 1 win for the season, so it's been a great season for you personally as well.
Yeah, definitely, right. It's been great. I've been in riding in good form and getting good support, and really enjoying getting these big winners home. And as you said, she's very genuine, that filly, and she showed that yesterday. I wanted to be a little bit closer in the run, given what looked like a lack of speed, and she began a lot better than what she has previously for me in the past. And I ended up in a position where I was closer, but I couldn't sort of get in with for any great cover, and tempo was sort of only medium, so I was happy enough. And then I was a tiny bit worried when they pushed really wide in the straight. I was sort of kept on getting inconvenienced, if you like, from sort of the 500 to the 300. But then once I got her balanced up and got to the outside in the clear, she showed that electric turn of foot, and Put up a great performance, because I must admit there were parts during the race where I thought I'm close where I wanted to be, but I was wide with no cover and I was a little bit worried. But great determination by the mare, by the filly, to get herself home.
Yeah, well, that great turn of foot you mentioned there, that's why 1600 is better suited than the 2400. When you were riding the horse previously, do you get a sense of that? Were you involved in that decision at all, Karen?
Not really. I suppose Denise and Chris were the ones that made that call, and obviously yesterday proved the correct call. She's not an over big filly, and it's probably easy to say now, but a mile to 2000, probably a mile was her best trip, but maybe even 2000 on dry ground.
Right.
So she ran over the 2000 the Vinery, and let's face it, she did run really well, got inconvenienced quite badly over the last bit, and wasn't beaten that far. So you wouldn't completely rule out trying her again after 2000 if she could get some dry ground. So look, there's good options for her, in the spring there's the Mire, and there's plenty of good races for her that she can go very well at, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's the last Group One, that's for sure. Hey, Karen, what about the Sydney Cup? We had Mark Van Gestel on earlier. I'm not sure if you heard him, but obviously it wasn't an ideal scenario. When did you become aware that it wasn't no race?
Yeah, it was a terrible, unfortunate situation for everyone involved. Obviously, terrible that the horses, one horse broke down and jockeys fell off. And it was about 1,000. Obviously, I was up outside the leader, and I could hear the caller, Dale. He was singing out and waving his arms, and it was a tough one. I had a bit of a look back, and I knew that everything wasn't A-OK, but I paused for a furlong, and I thought, well, that there's got to be something on the track, or there's got to be something galloping back towards us. So I looked up and tried to sort of look on further down the straight, couldn't see anything. And I just thought, well, we've come this far, I'm just going to continue on and see what the result is. It was just unfortunate for everyone, and put a bit of a blight on the day for sure. But I spoke to the Godolphin team last night, and I think they're quite keen to stay on until the race is run, either on Anzac Day or whenever. But it will be, it'll be good to run the Sydney Cup again, and obviously give all the participants a chance to redeem themselves, I suppose.
So, Karen, we've been debating a little bit this morning about just what would be the best system to alert jockeys as to what's happened within a race. Because clearly what was in place yesterday didn't work. So what do you think would be the best way to...
Yeah.
A siren or flags or...?
Yeah, definitely. There's got to be... I think on the races that are obviously a lap and an oil, I suppose any race, but when you're talking safety, if there's races going past the wing post twice, then, safety comes into it, not only... considering the no race scenario, but I think there's got to be sirens, or whether there's guys with flags in position, so that A, the message is broadcast to the jockeys, and B, it's quite clear, because yesterday showed that it wasn't, or the jockeys weren't across what the scenario was yesterday, and the reasoning behind obviously the starter singing out and waving his arms. So, siren, light, flag, and even guys in position to be ready to grab horses if they're pulled up or if they're injured or whatever.
Yeah.
So they can be dealt with, quite instantly.
That's a good point. Hey, Kieran, I think the events of the last 24 hours just underscores the courage that you guys and girls take onto horses and onto tracks every time you do. Go around. We do appreciate it, and we also appreciate your time this morning.
No worries, guys. Thanks very much. And obviously, the jockeys across the world, across Australia here, are all thinking about Darren Jones and his family, and obviously the young apprentice that's in hospital. As you said, it was a tough old game, and yesterday's highlights, that for sure.
Well said. Well said, Karen. Thanks for that this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Karen.
Karen McAvoy there, winner with Fox Play in that Sydney Cup too.
Big season, isn't he? Melbourne Cup and six Group Ones.
That's a good point you make, Ray. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Time now to hear from Tanya for the first time this morning with our scratchings. Morning, Tanya.
Morning, everyone. Racing today in New South Wales is at Gundagai. We did have a meeting set down at Kempsey, but that has been abandoned due to the state of the track. So Gundagai, where the weather is overcast, the track a good four. The rail is out 1 metre from the 700, 1700 to the 700, and then 3 metres from the 700 to the 250. And we have 31 scratchings. So Penn's poised. Race one, take out number six, Favourite Uncle. 10, Mystique Beauty. 12, Stratarossa. 13, Imitation Game. And 14, Samuka. 6, 10, 12, 13, and 14. Race 2, number 1, Lawton Joseph, 2, Father's Delight, 11, Naylor's Girl, and 15, Karura Miss, 1, 2, 11, and 15. To race 3, take out 2, Silver Cloud 3, and number 3, that's the ticket, 2 and 3. Race 4, number 1, Zakathinos Regrets, 2, Flying Ferret, 5, Zooming, 7, Gentleman Charlie, and 13, Bell Hussey, 1, 2, 5, 7, and 13. Out of race 5, number 9, Miss I Wanna Be, 14, It's Urgent, 15, Everly Girl, and 16, Auntie Sue, 9, 14, 15, and 16. Race 6, take out 8, Big Spender, 10, Penny Shares, and 14, All About Magic, 8, 10, and 14. To race 7, take out 2, Ashdam, 12, Better Than You Think, 14, Illyrian, and 16, Southern Gamble, 2, 12, 14, and 16. And out of the last, race 8, take out 1, Circle Game, 2, Thunder Road, 15, Emerald Ice, and 16, Moss Magic, 1, 2, 15, and 16. Out of race 8, add Gundagai.
Some tongue twisters there for the Indeed. Well done. Couple of tips today, race 2, number 4, short.
Hang on.
Race 2, number 4, short.
Short.
Of the day. And then down to the Gundagai Cup. Race 7, number 3, overdue. A little awkwardly drawn, but a couple of those scratchings helps. He'll be hard to beat. Race 7, number 3, overdue.
Race 2, number 4, short. $4.50. Race 7, number 3, overdue. $7. So there you go. Big winner last week for you. $7. Well done.
Was it the week before?
Was it the week before?
Yeah, we had a wipeout last week.
Did we? That was good. Actually, had some young blokes grabbed me as I was leaving the race and said, come on, can you give me some betting tips and all that? And I said, yes, my best betting tip is listen to Ray Thomas on a Sunday morning. So there you go. Hope it all goes well for you guys. Paul Gow will be in the program somewhere. He's over there in the US Masters. But after the news, we're going to have a chat with Peter Peters. Bit of a quiet week in rugby league. Chris Waller will be on as well.
Stevens, two teenagers are due to face a Sydney court charged with the murder of Queanbeyan service station worker Zeeshan Akbar. The boys, 16 and 15, were arrested in the ACT on Friday morning and extradited to New South Wales yesterday. Meanwhile, a candlelight vigil's been held in Queanbeyan for the man allegedly killed by the teens. Local council administrator Tim Overall told the ABC the town's in a state of disbelief.
Queanbeyan community is a special community in a sense. It's very resilient. It's come together before in times of adversity, and it's come together now. You've only got to see what's happening here with the community coming with their floral tributes.
In New South Wales politics, Paralympian Liesl Tesh is celebrating her victory for Labor in the seat of Gosford following yesterday's by-elections. While the Liberal Party believes it's retained seats in Manly and the North Shore. Labor called Ms. Tesh's win shortly after counting began yesterday when a huge swing to Labor was apparent. Liberal candidates James Griffin and Felicity Wilson also declared victory in the Northern Sydney electorates of Manly and North Shore, but the party was on track to suffer massive swings against the Libs in both seats. A former boss of Australia's spy agencies has been appointed to head up the federal government's watchdog for foreign investments. David Irvine will begin his five-year term as chair of the Foreign Investment Review Board from April 16th. He's a former Director General of the Australian Security Intelligence Organisation and the Australian Secret Intelligence Service. A pedestrian's in hospital after he was hit by a car in Melbourne's West last night. Detectives say the car involved left the scene and left the 37-year-old man lying on Anderson Road at Albion. The alarm was raised by passers-by and the man was rushed to hospital in a critical condition. Police are looking for the car involved, believed to be a Toyota Camry. In other road incidents overnight, a 31-year-old man has died following a single-vehicle crash on the Sunshine Coast, while a 43-year-old woman motorcyclist has died after her bike was hit by a ute at Tarago, south of Goulburn. An Uzbek man being held in custody as the suspected driver of a hijacked beer delivery truck that ploughed into crowds in central Stockholm, killing 4 people and wounding 15 in an apparent terror attack. They say the 39-year-old man was previously known to Swedish intelligence services as a marginal figure with no clear links to extremist groups.
We do not know whether there are further persons involved in this act or not. But we are not excluding that. We are still working on a very comprehensive approach.
And winds and heavy rain are expected to hit most of southern Victoria, while Melbourne and surrounds are being warned of possible flash floods. Michael Efron of the Bureau in Melbourne says the rain will intensify during this afternoon.
As that low develops, we will see the rain becoming heavier as well, especially across southwestern and south central Victoria. Potentially leading to some flash flooding later in the day as well. We could see some totals in excess of 40 to 50 millimetres as we head into Sunday evening. So quite a significant change across the state today.
This is Air News. Firstly, league and Manly coach Trent Barrett has channeled his inner Jeff Toovey, labelling a controversial try ridiculous in the Sea Eagles 35-10 loss to St George Illawarra. In scenes reminiscent of Toovey's infamous There's Got to Be an Investigation round at Gosford in 2013, Barrett questioned why the bunker was unable to rule on a bizarre try in the third minute. Other winners yesterday, the Raiders and West Tigers. In AFL, Richmond have continued their flying start of the season with a hard-fought 11-point win over West Coast at a stormy MCG. The Tigers led by a goal at three-quarter time and had the better of a rain-drenched final term to claim an 11-10-76 to 8-17-65 win. Other winners, Adelaide, Fremantle and Geelong. In racing news, the Grand National's been run and won at Liverpool's Aintree, and for only the second time, the prize has gone to a Scottish-trained horse with 14-1 chance, one for Arthur, romping to victory. From the track, Mike Vince.
So for only the second time, the National goes to Scotland and to young Derek Fox, only passed fit earlier in the week, a moment to savour. He it was who took it up as they jumped the last to see off course of causes. And for Lucinda Russell, whose partner's the former champion jockey Peter Scudamore, this is the stuff that dreams are made of. 4.5 lengths clear of causes, with back in third place having run a really brave race, St. R, placed in the race again. But Scotland celebrated Aintree. The victory is won for Arthurs. Mike Vince, Liverpool.
And mechanics have been on overtime working to repair 12 cars caught in a shocking crash yesterday in the first supercars race at Simmons Plains in Tasmania. The crash on lap 2 created carnage, ending the first race for 11 drivers. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Merlot by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
It's holiday time. Grab the kids and get down to Sea Life, Sydney Aquarium, Darling Harbour, for the ultimate penguin expedition. They'll love it. Book now at sealifesydney.com.au. If you're off to the airport, it is very heavy on the M5 approaching Marsh Street. Traffic is backed up to General Holmes Drive at the moment. And expect delays on Marsh Street and Airport Drive approaching International Terminal. In Enfield, look out for lights flashing on Liverpool Road at Cosgrove Road. If you're happy and you know it, then you really ought to show it. The Sydney Royal Easter Show is on now. Don't miss out. Pre-purchase tickets and save at eastershow.com.au. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny morning, patchy fog in the outer west early this morning. 80% chance of showers. We don't like the sound of that. The winds northwesterly, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, tending north to northwesterly in the morning and then turning westerly in the evening. Maximum of 27 in Sydney town. Now, what about at Toongabby? And g'day to everyone out there at the Toongabby Sports, Tiger Tim and the team. And Tenerfield, right?
Tenerfield, yeah. Well, Toongabby, firstly, currently 16 degrees, Jimmy, at Toongabby. Tenerfield, great part of the world up there. It's currently 13 degrees, heading for a top temperature of 22 degrees, partly cloudy in Tenerfield.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
I'm Karen from Currajong Kitchen. We've hired many employees from Nova Employment. They take the time to understand our recruitment needs and match up great workers with ability.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
At Bingley, we've got a great deal until this Sunday only. Spend $200 or more and you'll get a Bingley bonus gift card worth 10% of your purchase. If you spend $1,000, you'll have a $100 bonus gift card. You'll receive
receive it on the spot, and it's yours to spend on anything you like at Bingley. But it's only until Sunday, so make the most of it. Spend more than $200 at Bingley and get a bonus Bingley 10% gift card on the spot. And there's a great deal more in store.
Exclude Tesco and Miller. See bingley.com.au for details.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Peters, Waller, Moss and Ritchie. You can have your Smith, Cronk, Slater and Bellamy, but I wouldn't trade them for anyone. Would you, Ray?
Outstanding.
The Fab Four? No, we're hanging on. By the way, these injuries things, we've got a lot of people mentioning the fact that Robbie Kearns fell from a horse in preparation for a State of Origin. Brad Clyde fell out of the horse.
Wayne Pearce was coach.
Yeah. I can't help but think, knowing him, well, I knew him back then, but knowing him as we do now, more people do now, can't help but think Brian Fletcher was heavily involved.
I like the one from Don from Carlton. I've forgotten about this when Brett Ogle did his kneecap when he gets Shane off the train.
He smashed his kneecap. Oh, how painful would that be? Smashed. I tell you what, it'd nearly be as painful as watching your team, the Seagulls, get obliterated by the Dragons at Lotto Land yesterday. Oh. All right, let's ask very nicely what Zorb thought of that. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, boys.
Morning, Pete.
Just before we get onto that, sad story. My best injury story ever is Arthur Beetson missing a test match because he couldn't wait for the sausages to get off the barbecue at Harry Bath's Hotel in Newtown, and Arthur burnt his hand and missed a test match trying to get a snag off the barbecue before he got the tongs.
He did it. Did he miss a test match?
He missed a test match with a burnt hand.
Arthur Beetson.
Oh, what a
Arthur Henry Beetson, the old postman from Roma. God, I miss him. He's a great man.
Absolutely. All right, what about that performance yesterday? To be honest, I didn't see it coming. I don't know.
I didn't see it coming either. I was a bit wary when I saw the Roosters on Thursday night, and they were flat, lethargic against the Broncos after playing Manly the week earlier in the wet at Allianz, and then Manly yesterday started the game. That dramatic try when Manly had possession close to their line, about to play the ball, no dummy half, picked up by Gareth Widdop and scored. That set the trend for the whole day. And in the end of the day, in the 80th minute, so that was in the third minute, in the 80th minute, Tommy T just didn't get to that ball on the goal line and could easily have kicked it out. Didn't, and there was Widdop again. So I think that's one we've got to forget about. I hope it is, because after three successive great weeks, that was poor. But let's give credit. And I think St George Illawarra today or tomorrow should just say, righto, Mary, you've passed the test. Paul McGregor, you're our coach for the next three seasons. Here's your contract. You've earned it. 5 out of 6. We said we'd put you on public display to pass your exam. Well, you've passed with honours. Here's your contract. I mean, how long are they going to wait?
Yeah, you know,
well, what else could he possibly do?
Well, he could have won one more game.
Wow. but couldn't have been more impressive, Zorb.
The Dragons of 2017, what's impressing you most about them compared to 2016?
Oh, their forwards. The forwards are dynamic. They're offloading.
Yeah.
They're being well led by the buyer of the year in Paul Vaughan. He has just aimed up every game. He's now starting. He's loving the role. He's unstoppable at the moment. He's a form prop in the competition. I don't know who New South Wales are going to pick in the front row position. Obviously, Aaron Woods is one. But I'd be looking at Vaughan. I mean, if you go on form, Vaughan's form is way ahead of any other prop in the comp over 6 weeks.
Can't argue with it. Hey, Zorb, you ever done anything for love?
Have I done anything for love?
Like as in
absolutely,
quit
mate. I've been
in the backside by a rainbow. Every day I do something for love.
Yeah, I know. Kaz is the luckiest
man in the world.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I do a lot of things for love.
Well, what about, I know you left Parramatta when you fell in love with the Northern Beaches, but what about Cooper Cronk leaving Melbourne after 14 seasons to come to Sydney to be with his fiancée, Tara Rushton?
Well, I said on this program last week that I felt that Cooper was on the wane a little bit from his absolutely superb, continuous form. It doesn't surprise me. It will surprise me if indeed he plays.
Really?
I think that Cooper Cronk has got a great career mapped out in the media or in the future as a coach. So I think Cooper knows where he's going. He's a sensible young man. I thought he handled all the media this week just superbly.
Brilliant.
And
so well, and
everything he does with class, and I think he'll go out with class.
Mm. You know, good point, Pete. He does speak so well. Kieran Foran, he made a difference last week. Pete, he's only going to get better when he gets more game time, isn't he?
Well, he made a difference, right? But it's almost like last week, the Warriors. And the Warriors, I'm not going to tip them ever again against the top side because they won't win.
No.
They're beaten this year. Newcastle, and lucky to beat them.
Yes.
And they beat a reserve grade side, the Titans, last week. Yeah. And they were lucky to beat them too. The Titans led for most of the game and didn't have any trouble scoring tries. Now, get ready for some noises out of Newcastle and some noses out of Auckland, sorry, and some noses out of joint over Kieran Foran, starting today against one of his former teams, the Eels. The Kiwis have provided a safe haven for the troubled star, and now the drums are beating. He'll return to Sydney next season. He's employed Sam Ayoub as his new manager, and I think he'll join the Bulldogs. He's fourth NRL club in as many seasons. And talking about it now, I think won't go down well in Auckland, where he's only played one game.
And I guess Jim Doyle would be the one that we'd be most upset with that, because he's gone above and beyond what any club or individual should have to do for someone who is a player.
Yep, and look, Kieran played well last week. You expect him to play well. He's a class player. He's an international player. He's a young player. If he gets everything right, he can be anything in the game. But right now, I think that he's got some massive decisions to make, and how he makes them is going to be paramount for how he goes in the future. I mean, does he go on the whole year saying, "Oh, I might stay, I might go," or does he put pen to paper, sign with, say, the Bulldogs, and say, "Right, I've come here to get my head right. I want to be with my family in Sydney, or be in a fractured family at the moment."
What about the conspiracy theories around Desi Hasler re-signing for the Bulldogs for a couple of years? They were running like wildfire during the week, Zorb.
Yeah, I spoke to Des a couple of times prior, and he was never worried. He said to me, Zorb, he said, "We've been through a lot of battles together. I don't have one here at the moment. I'm happy with where I am. I'll be at the Bulldogs." So he was confident all the way through.
So you think? Oh. Sorry, you think they'll get Kieran Foran? A lot of speculation around Cooper Cronk being a certainty to join the Bulldogs.
Well, look, it'd cost a lot to get both, but boy, you know, if you had Cronk for a year alongside Kieran Foran and you had a fire sale of your players. I mean, their players are being chopped around at the moment. The players have been really chopped around. Josh Reynolds, Will Hopewadi,
Michael Leisha,
Graham. And anyone that wants to say maybe take up Aidan Tolman's 3-year deal.
I have it on good authority that James Graham is to be paid $1 million next year. So that's a lot at the Bulldogs. Like, that's the back-ended contract, and that's why they're trying to shift him on.
Well, I also think his form is down. I mean, he played well last week against the Broncos on Thursday night, but I still think his form's way down on what it was the previous couple of years. And that doesn't surprise me because of the way he plays, the standard he sets, and there's only so much petrol in everybody's tank.
Yep.
Yeah, going for so much. Hey, Zorb, did Ivan Cleary make that much of a difference last night?
Well, I think their attitude made a lot of difference, and I also think that the Cowboys are on the wane. I mean,
They won their first two games this year by golden point. Let's not forget it.
Yep. No.
And they could have easily been two losses. Golden point games are a lottery. You know, they're not the side they were.
Forward strike power is there now.
Yeah, well, they're missing Scott. And Jonathan's hasn't been the dominant halfback that we expect him to be in every game, albeit still by far the best in the competition. Look, Cleary's going to be good for the West Tigers. They need to know where they're going, though. The drums are beating that James Tedesco will be at the Roosters next year.
Yep.
And he's great mates with Anthony Minicello. And Minicello is trying to soften the waters a little bit between Nick Politis and the management of James Tedesco.
Yes. Yeah. They don't speak at the moment after a Mitchell Moses incident last year where did a bit of a backflip there. I'll tell you what, the other thing you can bank on these days, the Zapper.
Flying Zorb.
Got it last week. Titans plus 6.5. Got home there. Dragons minus 4.5. No problem there. $3.61. $1.90 each. Where are you going this week, Zorb?
Tell me what the start is. Warriors Eels.
Warriors Eels. The start there, yeah. Or well, just getting that up here. And that is... it's plus 2.5 to Parramatta.
Okay. They're the bet of the year.
Jeez.
They've lost three games in a row.
Yes.
They've lost their fullback today in Bevan French.
That's a massive loss.
Clint Gutherson will go to fullback, and he was Australian under-18s fullback. He can play anywhere, that kid, in the back line. So don't worry about him going there. Kakarangi will go to 5'8", and he will be all over Kieran Foran. And he's a good, strong defender. Vave, is that how you pronounce his name?
Yes.
He'll come into Uva. He'll come into the centres to replace Takarangi. I don't rate the Warriors forward. Charlie Grubb's a reserve grader. Isaac Luke.
It's Charlie Grubb.
I think he's got a job as a tester for Hungies over there, because I've never seen him, like we're 6 weeks in, he's still not 100% fit. Lilyman's the journeyman. Hoffman.
He's played about 12 Origins, Lilyman.
Yeah, I know. Lilyman, a long time ago. You played for the Roosters and South a long time ago.
Oh, hey, and you played for Manly longer ago.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying about Lilyman.
That's the point.
He played last year, didn't he, Lilyman?
Put him on the market. Where would he go?
Let's all speak.
Yeah, I know. But
I just don't rate their forwards. You know,
okay.
Hoffman, Mannering, a workman-like. I think Parramatta will dominate up front, and they're special in this game.
All right.
2.5 start. Get on.
And then the big ones, Zorb.
Better of the year is $2.
Yeah.
Who do you like, Melbourne or Cronulla?
What's the start?
4.5.
To the Sharks.
Mm-hmm. 4.5, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be much in it. The Storm have been fantastic, but, you know, some games have looked a little bit shaky. They're very good at home. I'll stick with them to keep going, and Manly will beat them next week.
So Storm minus 4.5.
Yep.
That's $2 as well. So you're swimming against the tide, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, Zorb.
No, I like it tough.
Across
a rip. You don't go, you know that.
Yeah, that's a good
don't
point.
Go through it.
That's a good point. Let's go with the rip. Good on you, mate. And we appreciate that. Good luck with the Zapper this week. Good luck.
We'll make it three in a row. But Eels, best bet of the year against the Warriors. Overrated. No Ben Metalito, no punch, and no skill in their forwards.
Love your confidence.
All right, and you're not a fan of Charlie Grubb, are you?
No, oh, what a terrible name. That's your name. I did.
It's Gubb.
It should be, you know.
Yeah, okay. All right, see you, Zorb.
Bye.
See you. Lilyman played in the third game last year at the State of Origin, by the way.
Hey, quick update. Justin Rose birdied 18, goes to equal leader now with Charlie Hoffman, who did bogey 13. He's back to 6-under. Ricky Fowler's got up to 5-under alongside Sergio Garcia. Jordan Spieth has finished at 4-under. Adam Scott at 3-under.
AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products, including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware with the new black chrome finish out soon, plus vanities, toilet suites, basins, freestanding and drop-in baths, and so much more. AstiVita.com.au. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations, with free delivery to most areas. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AstiVita.com.au.
Rosie, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to? Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it.
See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
Buy 3 weeks worth of the Man Shake and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
They all descend on the last snag. Johnson secures it, giving his dad the big don't argue. Oh, it's personal now. Dad attempts a late smother, but it's too late. Johnson's already celebrating. Just look at his face. He's chomping at the bit for more. What a beauty.
Make your mark this AFL season with great AFL offers available on your TAB app, online or at your local. TAB, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
There's a medical problem affecting millions of men, but we don't talk about it. Let's call them performance problems. And problems getting or maintaining a, well, you get it. Thing is, most guys would rather suffer in silence than risk an embarrassing appointment with a doctor or chemist. But there may be a cure, and finding it is as easy as talking to the professionals at Men's Health Clinic. Visit mhc.com.au or call 133-MHC to get this fixed today. Men's Health Clinic, 133-MHC.
The Penrith Mazda 2016 plate clearance is in its final days, Jimmy. This is your last chance to get an amazing deal on a 2016 plated Mazda, including your favourites, mate, the BT50.
Yes.
In the Mazda Ute Centre, where there's over 50 utes on display. Hurry, don't miss out. Come and see the Mazda specialists for unbeatable deals. Penrith Mazda has over 150 vehicles on display, so come in and grab a bargain. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer, is family-owned and operated at Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MD18808.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy?
Yes, Ray.
This is interesting. Ray, do you remember Mark Lewin? I do. And the sleeper hold. Mark Lewin's famous sleeper hold.
Oh, Bulldog, we go back Brower, to the wrestling, are we?
Bulldog Brower, remember him. Killer Carl Cox. Killer Kowalski.
I remember Killer Kowalski.
I don't remember Big John. But I remember that era. Mark Lewin and the sleeper hold. Famous.
Okay.
Tough as.
Here we get this one. Gee, boys, I nearly choked on my Cocoa Pops. Zorba actually gave the Dragon some praise. That's from Biz at Newey. Yeah, he did. Yeah, don't worry. We're all... Now, talking about injuries, this comes in from Master Monkey. I had an injury that was much smaller than I expected. Mrs. Monkey caught me with a dominatrix, but all I got was a slap on the wrist.
He's got the strangest sense of humour.
Look, you've put that very nicely. He's a genuine weirdo, isn't he, Master Monkey?
He's from a genuine part of the world.
Yeah.
This one's from Polly, though. Hi, Jim and Ray. I feel for all involved in racing and the loss of life in the racing industry. My sincere thoughts go out to all affected. Also, I heard that two track riders were badly hurt at Toowoomba yesterday. Any update on them? That's from Polly. Yes, I did hear there's also a fall yesterday morning at track work at Toowoomba Wheatwood. So I'll try and find out, Polly, about them as well. So many great news stories yesterday.
Yeah.
Also, so many sad ones.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 1353 53 is the open line number. Oh, we've got callers on the line there. We'll go now to Jeff. G'day, Jeff.
Raymond, James, how are we?
Good morning, Jeff.
Ray, I'm not sure if you remember. I spoke to you earlier in the year about St. George. And I mentioned to you they were going to surprise. I'm not going to the early throw, the way it's only round six. So I remember telling you that they were going to surprise a lot of people.
I remember this.
If you're not going the early crow...
Fill me with optimism.
If you're not going the early crow, why are you calling talkback stations on a Sunday morning?
Well, if you let me finish, Jimmy, I'll tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
Their forwards are obviously dominating, but it's no coincidence that most of the top sides, their number nines are playing 80 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, whilst we're talking about Paul Vaughan and Jack DeBella, I think Cameron McInnes has been the buy of the year for St. George.
Oh, hard to play.
80 minutes every game this year.
40 plus tackles every game. Just
absolutely
does his
making
job.
The right decision.
Mm. But who was it I heard? It might have been Jamie Soward on a rival radio network.
Aren't you on Station Jimmy?
Yes, I am.
Day's all over. Jeff's all over. Seriously.
Triple M NRL, obviously. But he actually made a really interesting point yesterday. He said the simplicity of the way Cameron McGuinness plays makes it a lot easier to play with him than if Mitch Rain's trying to do a lot of stuff out of dummy half. And I thought it was because we always like, oh, we want our nines to be creative, but the simplicity of it makes it easier for everyone else.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
He runs, he picks and chooses when he runs. I've watched him obviously every day.
Yep.
And he very rarely makes the wrong decision.
Yeah.
Rugby league, Jimmy, you know this. Rugby league is a simple game. If you run hard, you run straight, you tackle hard, you're going to win more games than you lose. Obviously, St. George are doing that with second phase play.
Spot on.
And it starts in the engine room, doesn't it, Jeff, with Vaughan and Packer getting all those metres for them. They've been fantastic.
Absolutely.
Please don't underestimate Jack DeBellin's.
Jack DeBellin's great
performances.
Hey, Jeff, are you John Farnham, Olivia Newton-John fan, Elvis fan, or Human Nature?
Strikes me as Olivia Newton-John.
What was that, sorry?
Yeah, are you a John Farnham and Olivia Newton-John fan, an Elvis fan, or Human Nature?
I'm an Elvis fan, Raymond.
Okay, here you go, mate. A wonder of you, and if I can dream, Elvis with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
You're
coming your way.
Thanks, Raymond.
Let's hope we're 10-2 after 12 weeks, Jeff.
Jimmy, I've just got one more question. Jimmy, are you on the ABC this afternoon?
The messages I've put through to management haven't had a response, so in answer to your question, no, Jeff.
No. Just send me an email, because I'm the
team list up. Okay, no problem.
Good on you,
Jeff, I can't wait till you ring up and you do go the early crow. We can look forward to that one. So
yeah,
there he is. Good on you, mate. No, they're playing really well, the Dragons. And to be honest, it's really great for Paul McGregor. I think it's fantastic. And I totally agree with what Zorba said. Sign him up. Sign him up.
Contract extension.
Now, we get this from Ron on Twitter.
Yeah.
Right? A Pakistani cricketer missed a test match because of STDs.
True story.
Can't remember his name, but he was a bowler. Well, you have to dig a little bit deeper, and you realise that...
So to speak.
That's a good point. Shoaib Akhtar.
Oh, you're kidding.
Actually missed the World 2020, the T20 Cup, because of aforementioned STDs. So
that's
there you go.
I've never heard of that.
Strange injuries. Strange injuries. So very hard to beat.
Speaking of which, producer Jeremy, talking about... Famous American baseball pitcher, Joel, I can't pronounce this correctly, Zamaya.
Yeah.
He missed an important championship match because he injured his wrist.
Yes.
Doing Guitar Hero. Can you believe that?
He did not.
He's made it up. Google it.
Producer
Jeremy wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that.
I like the one that producer Jeremy gave us, John Schmaltz, the great pitcher, who burnt himself while ironing
his
shirt. That he was wearing. Jeremy's a pitcher. Did you know that? He's a special breed,
he knows
pitchers.
These things. And also Adam Eaton. Mm-hmm. Is he a pitcher, Jeremy? Adam Eaton?
Yeah.
He's a pitcher
as well.
They're all pitchers.
Pitchers.
Well, Jeremy's heart. He injured himself in the most bizarre way.
Oh, here we go.
Trying to open up a DVD.
Right.
With a knife. And you know how it's somewhat difficult to open?
Yes.
He tried to cut the plastic with his knife. It slipped. He's accidentally stabbed himself in his midriff. Can say he's okay. But injury was severe enough, obviously.
And they're all pitchers, are they?
Does producer Jeremy get a CD for producing these?
Listen, let me assure you, producer Jeremy walks out of here every week with whatever he wants. CDs, tickets, Royal Easter Show. By the way, we have got Royal Easter Show tickets available too for the best contribution. And that one from Twitter about the Pakistani cricketer from Ron is very, very close to victory. 1353-53, the open line number. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Phil Moss. Who
in the house.
Allegedly, Liverpool had a win overnight as well.
AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products, including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, with a new black chrome finish out soon. Plus, they have vanities, toilet sweeps, basins, and freestanding and drop-in bars, and so much more. 2-year warranty over 50 service locations with free delivery to most areas. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AstiVita.com.au.
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
My 3 weeks worth of the Man Shake, and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
They all descend on the last nag. Johnson secures it, giving his dad the big don't argue. Oh, it's personal now. Dad attempts a late smother, but it's too late. Johnson's already celebrating. Just look at his face. He's chomping at the bit for more. What a beauty.
Make your mark this AFL season with great AFL offers available on your TAB app, online or at your local. TAB, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
There's a medical problem affecting millions of men, but we don't talk about it. Let's call them performance problems. And problems getting or maintaining a, well, you get it. Thing is, most guys would rather suffer in silence than risk an embarrassing appointment with a doctor or chemist. But there may be a cure, and finding it is as easy as talking to the professionals at Men's Health Clinic. Visit mhc.com.au or call 133 MHC to get this fixed today. Men's Health Clinic, 133 MHC.
It's English and Phil Swift fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row. That is unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jim and Ray. Jimmy, just a quick update.
Yes.
And for those out there, read the Sydney Cup. The ATC have contacted me this morning. No decision made today, but hopefully tomorrow they'll know if they can rerun the Sydney Cup. And I think the important news also was from Kieran McAvoy.
Yes.
The Dolphin Stable are willing to keep their horses here longer if the Cup is rerun. That's Polarisation and Pengalai Pavilion. So I think the odds are firming. Sydney Cup will run at some stage this month.
Mm, very interesting. Less interesting is the performance of Liverpool overnight, who scraped home. But before we get to that, let's get to domestic football. We do that with Phil Moss. Morning, Phil.
Good morning, guys.
Oh, here he is.
Absolute
here we
pleasure to be here.
It's a great morning, isn't
it,
Phil?
Early on a Sunday.
Beautiful.
God, it hurts so much. Let's get to coaching. First of all, interesting to see Roy Hodgson out here for that Melbourne City game. And the other thing about it is there's a lot of speculation around Ange Postecoglou and his tenure going forward. But if he gets the side to the World Cup and they go okay, surely it's his job for another few years, right?
Or is that the best time to go?
Mm. He wants to go to Europe, doesn't
he? Two World Cups.
He wants to look at Europe and pursue interests in Europe.
Yeah, he does. And he's always been clear on that. When he took the job over, he pretty much said that one World Cup cycle would probably do him. Don't forget, he took over just before the World Cup. We'd already qualified. We performed well there. He took us to the Asian Cup. We won that.
Yes.
If he gets us to this World Cup and they perform well, he'll be hot property. His market value will go through the roof, and that might be the time for him to cash in. But he's already said that's him done. Russia 2018, he's on his way.
Mm. So, Phil, given that Ange has already made that call, is Tony Popovich inside running to get the job?
Look,
if he wants it?
Yeah, on the face of it, Ray, yeah, Tony Popovich, Kevin Muscat, Graham Arnold. I mean, if you're looking at three local candidates there, they're the three. Graham Arnold is by far and away got the best CV for that job. Whether he wants it or not, it's not a discussion I've had with him face-to-face. But, look, the problem I've got with Tony Popovich and Kevin Muscat is not their ability as coaches and managers, it's just the experience that they've had, or the lack of experience. Like, Tony Popovich, this is only his fifth season as a head coach.
Okay.
Kevin Muscat only took over in 2013. I think they're both fantastic managers and got great futures in their own right, but for the national team job, which is a massive job, are they experienced enough?
Who would you like to see get the job then?
Well, that's the issue. If you look locally, they're the three standout candidates.
Presuming Arnes probably doesn't want it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, why do you presume that? Do you know whether he wants it or not? You said you haven't spoken to him face-to-face, but have you texted him?
Last time his name was thrown up.
Seriously.
That's good for you.
Did you hear the writer, though? I haven't spoken to him face-to-face. And you say, oh, yeah, I'm sitting at home and I text him a lot.
That's very good for you, Jimmy. It's early in the morning.
Come on, mate.
No, look, what I can say is this. Last time his name was in the hat, it was between him and Ange. Publicly, that's a picture FFA painted. He said, I don't want it.
Mm.
So that was the last time the job was up for grabs. That was a couple of years ago. Whether he's changed his stance on that, he's having a great time with Sydney FC. No, there's been no text messages, Jimmy. I'm letting him get this record out the way, win the premiership, win the championship, hopefully for his sake and all the Sydney FC supporters. But, I don't know. If they don't go for one of those three, it has to be an overseas appointment, definitely.
Mm. Just where would Ange Postecoglou get a job? Well, he's been in Greece before, hasn't he? He went there when he was sort of in the wasteland, and no one wanted him as a coach. But where would are we looking? We're looking at EPL.
Look, no, I think Europe is where he wants to go rather than Asia.
Yeah, but where in Europe? Like, is he going to go to a strong league? Is he going to go to a first division club?
It really depends on how they go getting to the World Cup and in the World Cup. I mean, that's where your market soars or sinks, really, on the international scene. And Ange has been very, very open and public about his ambitions to go to the next level and coach in Europe one day.
Hey, Phil, the video assistant referee, are you in agreement with it, and did it work last night?
Skeptical, as I think everyone is, because it's change, Ray, and us human beings don't like change a lot of the time. But, look, I've been a massive advocate of goal line technology, and I think because we've got the technology, we have to use it. We've gone a couple of steps further than that, penalties, red cards, mistaken identification, of course. Last night, it was a successful introduction. The football eyes of the world were on us.
They got it right.
And we got it right. And I know there's a little bit of a question mark over whether there was a foul on Marco Rossi before the hand hit the ball, but what was his hand doing up there in the first place? Referee Sean Evans missed it. On review, the penalty was given, I think rightly so, and Sydney got the penalty and go-ahead goal.
Phil, how much long can the play go on, though, for before they intervene?
A good point.
And that's what I was worried about last night, because it went back upfield, the ball. And
that's right. Yeah, good point. It's until the next stoppage in play. Now, if the ball doesn't go out for a while, we could have
that
a problem. But my biggest concern, I guess, is that a 90-minute game of football, which usually runs to 95 minutes if you take a minute in injury time, first half, 4 minutes, second half, 3 minutes, whatever it may be, if we start getting 100 to 105-minute games of football, I think we'll be in trouble.
Okay.
So we've got to make sure, and we will, as it's introduced and as it's refined, I guess, the process, I'm sure the amount of time it takes to make those decisions will be lessened. But last night, very, very good introduction for something that is such a massive change in our game.
Mm. All right, who's taking good form into, because what, we're one round away, or one game and one round away from semi-final, who's taking good form into it? Because Sydney FC... what do we make of 1-1 against Wellington?
Look, I mean, their midfield, the heart of their midfield was ripped out, Brillante and O'Neill. That's not an excuse, but they're two big losses for Sydney FC. Their depth was tested. It's not an easy place to go, Wellington. They got away with a point. They're on track for the record of 66 points. Newcastle at home in the last round this next weekend. But thank goodness for Sydney chasing this record, and thank goodness for Newcastle, Adelaide and Central Coast Mariners, because they make round 27. Very interesting, because obviously the wooden spoon is there for the taking, the F3 derby, or the desperation derby as we've renamed it this afternoon, between the Mariners and Newcastle. And if you look at the points, the Mariners on 20, Adelaide, who have played this weekend, 22, Newcastle 22, the goal difference is one goal between those three teams. So the wooden spoon is there for the taking, and no one wants it, of course, so that leads to a couple of desperate weeks for those three sides. Sydney, of course, you know, they'll be presented with the Premier's plate next weekend against Newcastle at home. But Graham Arnold will be keen to let the supporters and the team celebrate to some degree. But he'll keep them very, very focused.
Finals,
So to answer your question, to answer your question, Jimmy,
he's on form.
Western Sydney Wanderers are certainly showing some form. They missed out on the chance for a home final last night with a nil-all draw against Melbourne Victory, a 10-man Melbourne Victory for over half an hour. But that could be a good thing, because Western Sydney's home form this season has not been anything to write home about.
Now, you're tipping today, Central Coast, against Newcastle?
I'm tipping the Mariners. I just think Newcastle have lost all fight. They have been anus horribilis for the last few weeks of the season. And, look, they'll be keen to go out on a high. And the fact that it is an F3 derby, I think, gives them that little bit of added bite. But I just think the Mariners, you know, they've got a lot of young kids in there, keen to prove their worth in the A-League, and I think they'll get the money at home.
Righto, Phil. Jimmy's been dreading this. Let's go to it. EPL overnight. Top four sides win. Liverpool 2-1.
Top four sides win, yes. So normal order resumed. Manchester United
haven't played yet.
That's right. That's the only good news for you, Jimmy. But, look, it's been an interesting week, hasn't it? And, look, all I can say is, you know, Liverpool stumbled midweek. They gave away that 87th minute equaliser, and then they bounced back like all true champion teams do.
Hang on, man.
But they had to come from behind. They had to come from behind to do it, to beat Stoke. So
Like all champion teams, they're 12 points behind Chelsea. They're not a champion team. They're running third.
Let's not talk about how many points behind the team they are.
No.
Because well, otherwise we'll have to bring up...
Where Manchester United are. Look, we've got three games in hand. I'll say that. We've got three games in hand. We're 9 points back. So it's going to be...
say a bird in the hand.
Yeah. Oh, I'd rather be in your position than mine. However, I won't be conceding at this point. Anyway,
all I can say, Jimmy, is there's a drive-through bottle shop about 100 metres from this studio.
Oh,
called the
painful.
Parkway Hotel.
You don't understand how painful this is. Anyway, come on, Man United. Let's hope they do well. Good on you, Phil. Appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Guys.
Thanks, Phil. Next week.
Absolute
there he is,
pleasure.
Phil Moss, with all the latest from the world of football.
Okay, Jimmy, well, hopefully now we've got the man in question yesterday who had a terrific day. Two Group 1s, including, of course, the Mighty Winks and the QE Stakes. Chris, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And have you had a chance to, I guess, soak in what happened yesterday and appreciate it too?
Not really, Ray. And good morning to you guys. And I actually thought you were ringing me about the soccer. I thought Tony Popovic would be the outstanding clear candidate.
There you go.
Australian soccer coach.
You're not a Wanderer supporter, are you, Chris?
Well, he's a great man. Great man. Great coach. Races horses, in fact.
Oh, he must have gone in the stable, has he, Chris?
He's not in the stable right now, but he's an occasional visitor and great sportsman.
Yeah, no, he's
excellent.
Coach too.
Excellent.
So it'll be a great job to get whoever does get it.
Yeah. Well, he's much like a trainer, isn't he, of elite athletes. There's not many as elite as Winks. I wanted to ask you, Chris, and it was a point that was brought home in an article Ray wrote, quoting Lloyd Williams. So when you start getting plaudits from your peers... I don't know whether you saw the article, you probably heard about it. How does that make you feel? And you just spoke in glowing terms about the job you've been doing with Winks.
Yeah, it's an amazing ride. Mm. And good horses, all good sporting teams will put the coach on a pretty high spectrum.
Mm.
And you do get some good accolades, but it's all about the team you're around, and that's an endless amount of staff that work for me, and I know I say it all the time, but it's as simple as that.
Mm.
And it is great to be given a pat on the back by your fellow peers, and likewise with other sports. It's why we respect baby coaches like Tony Popovic. They go through, they're winning premierships or just getting beaten, and then all of a sudden they don't win games for a while, but they bounce back. And just with Winks, it's just been an amazing ride to see the pressures that intense coaches would be under, and it's been a learning curve for me, to say the least. And no, just great to get a bit of satisfaction yesterday. It was fantastic.
Two perfect seasons now, Chris, and she goes to the paddock for a well-earned break. And I asked Peter Tighe this earlier. I don't know if you had a chance to listen, but I've never seen in my time in racing people begin to break out in spontaneous applause 600 metres from home, which they did again yesterday, louder than ever as Winks cruised up on the outside. Have you ever seen that before, and what does that make you feel when she's just storming to the front and the crowd's going berserk at the home turn?
It's pretty amazing, simple as that. And yeah, she's I've compared other horses to being like your best mate. I'm getting the most.
No, that's fair enough too, Chris. She does
amazing.
That to people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that to people. Chris, she goes for a break now, and obviously that third Cox plate is the primary aim, all being well come spring.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Look, 6 months is a long time. The racing preparation lasts about that, and it's the early days of training, gradually working your way through to the first race, and then getting through to a semi-final, then finally the final, such as the Cox Plate. It's not easy, but that's certainly the plan, and it should be achievable to get her there. And we just have to make sure that we look after and hold her in this current form. And I think by not over racing her and making sure she's going home safely, I don't think there's any fear or doubt that she will continue to perform at her best. So she needs a good one to come along to beat her. Otherwise, bad luck can always play a part in any sport.
Mm.
But apart from that, she's going to be very hard to beat in whatever she runs in, and obviously the Cox Plate next spring.
Chris, do you know what Winks is doing on August 1?
Like, do you have everything mapped out to the day?
Not yet. Ask me tomorrow, and I may do because
yeah.
I'm probably doing the preparation for it in the next few days.
Yeah. Because here's the other thing, and we talked about it, Ray, and the Everest is over 1,200 metres, and she's second favourite in the market there. Now, we don't think it's an option, but I guess you never know.
You never know. Just quickly, this player, it'd be like her running against Usain Bolt in terms of a horse, so the best sprinters. And it would be like Usain Bolt then having to run against Mon Farah in the Cox Plate.
Yeah.
He could probably do it. He's a freak. She's getting close to that as well, but it's not easy. You're breaking your training preparations, and you wouldn't be seeing a horse at her best in either the Everest or the Cox Plate if you were taking that challenge on. So it would only be if we couldn't run on the Cox.
Right.
And she got a setback, but was still fit and able to run in the Everest, that she would run there. But looking, I don't want it to happen. I wanted to have a straightforward spell, preparation be good, and get to the Cox Plate, because it's just as much about history as it is about prize money with links. It's as simple as that.
Well, I was at the track yesterday with hardened racing men. Breathtaking and spine-tingling were the adjectives they were using to describe being on track when the Mighty Mare ran. So I know you know the impact that it's having on all racegoers, but it's just incredible to see it close up. Like, I was granted the opportunity yesterday. Great to have you on the phone again, Chris, and well done in regards to everything relating to Winx yesterday.
Absolute pleasure.
Thanks so much, Chris.
There he is, Chris Waller. And that is a line, isn't it? It's like taking on Usain Bolt and then taking on Mo Farah.
Yeah.
That's a good one from Chris Waller there. 13:53:53. Call now if you want to be part of the quiz. Just an update on that score too. A little bit wrong earlier on. I'm 8, you're 5, Ray. Call now if you'd like to be a part of the Z&Z quiz, courtesy of Z&Z. 13:53:53.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Mile in an absolute hand canter. That's the world.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
There's tough. And there's a new breed of tough. Introducing the new Amarok Core 4x4 from only $42,990 drive away. This impressive workhorse comes with a rigid ladder frame chassis, the largest tray in its class. And now with a new cabin design, App Connect, and rear view camera, it's a whole new breed of tough. Offer ends April 30. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda,
the BT50 experts.
More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres
at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Quiz coming up, courtesy of Z&Z. We do appreciate their sponsorship. Remember, they're a Hurstville institution, so check them out online, zedz.com.au. That's zedn.com.au. Score update, 8-5, Raymond.
All right, here we go. You can open the batting if you want.
Okay, David at Narellan. G'day, Dave.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Yeah, really well. Here we go.
Okay.
Question one. Who led the NRL in offloads heading into round 6? Was it Brenko Lee, David Nofaluma, or Daniel Tupou?
I'm going to say Nofaluma.
Yeah, I'm going to say you're
call.
Right, David. Well done.
I wouldn't have got that, anyway.
No, that's three unusual names to have on the offloads charts, isn't it?
Well, good start.
Question two. Which team was higher on the NRL ladder heading into round 6? Was it the Raiders, the Panthers, or the Broncos?
I'm going to say the Raiders.
Oh, I love it, David.
Left field, that
well one. Done. Well done. Question three. Which of the following sports has not been contested at an Olympics? Bowling, polo, jeu de pomme. I'll say it again. Bowling, polo, or jeu de pomme.
Why are they so hard?
They're not hard. They're ridiculous, David.
Got no idea, Jimmy. I'm going to say... I'm going to say bowling.
Oh, he jagged it. Well done. Who entered into that?
Was that John O'Shea that came in there somewhere?
Did you hear it?
I think it was.
David, well done. Three from three. Stay on the line.
Before I get to Fred, what's Sherda poem? What is
Real
that?
Tennis.
You know what?
I think it's the one off the wall. Yeah, the wall.
Oh, the old English.
Yeah, the old English one. Yeah, Sherda poem. Doesn't sound very English, does it? I don't know why we saw it English.
Sherda
poem.
Okay. So what's the score?
Three.
Oh. Hey, Fred, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, Fred, the good news is we're playing for potentially a Z&Z quiz watch. The bad news is we've got to get all three questions right, so best of luck.
Help me out, right?
Okay, we'll do our best, Fred. Question number one. Who led the NRL in run metres heading into round six? Was it Tom Trbojevic, Paul Gallen, or James Tedesco?
I'll go ahead, Tedesco.
Bad luck, Fred. It was a
pack
tough
and
ask.
Fred. See you later, buddy.
All right, mate. Thank you.
Bad luck. Bad luck. That's bad luck, Freddie. 3-0. David outstanding. Who does David go for, Jim?
Dave, who's your team?
I'm a Dragon supporter.
Oh, good man, Dave. Good
they
man.
Cock a hoop today, aren't they?
Hey, Dave, not going early crow, are you? Like Jeff, our early curler?
I did yesterday. I was wondering if it was grand final tickets were on.
Oh, I love it. Good on you. I love it. Well done, Dave. Stay on the line, mate. We'll be sending you out a Z&Z watch in the colours of the St. George Illawarra Dragons. They're the red and white team, aren't they, Ray? They are. There you go. ZNZ.com.au. It's amazing how quickly you can jump off Penrith.
I'm still
a couple of losses.
I wrote that.
You're a massive
Friday
Dragons fan. ZNZ.com.au.
Who gave away that penalty at the end? They had to march up field, give them in position to get the field goal. Who gave away that penalty?
Oh, watch the game.
First tackle, too. It was a dumb penalty. Anyway.
Anyway, forget about that. 9-5. That's the thing. We've got to concentrate here. 9-5. So there you go. Good on you, Dave. Well done. And well done, too, on producer Jeremy not having his ridiculous third question there being used up today. So he can use it up next Sunday as well. So remember, there is no homework that you can do for that. No homework that you can do for that. Now, SMS keep coming in. Hey, boys, didn't Greg Florimo miss a game when he fell off his skateboard as a 17-year-old? Cheers, Rod from Warriewood. I don't know whether he missed a game, but he definitely injured himself falling off the skateboard.
And this one rings a bell, too. What about David Kidwell missing most of 2007 after falling over his daughter at a family barbecue in the backyard, is it?
He did his ACL.
That's right. Yeah.
David Kidwell did his ACL. Yeah,
he
so
missed most of the season, did he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Rings a bell now.
Yeah, yeah. Morning, Ray and Jimmy. This is an interesting one. Damien Oliver is way out of order criticising the decision to call off the cup, especially in saying, I've been starving myself for 2 weeks to ride for bloody nothing. Maybe you should think about blokes like John Terry and Ray Silburn, whose careers were ended abruptly when riding for a lot bloody less. Cheers from Smacker. I thought Damien, when he mentioned that, I read that quote this morning and I thought, gee, that's self-interest. That's just a selfish way to look at it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know, yeah, I can see where he's coming from too. Because it's immediately after a race and idiots like me bail him up and say, you know, what do you think about this? And of course he's going to be...
Yeah, but if that's his immediate thought, you know what? The thought is, isn't the thought, oh, well, we felt that the race should have gone ahead because there was no real issue around safety from that point of view.
He did say that. He thought that everything would be okay because the horse that was in trouble, Al Moonquith, was past the finish line.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And he thought as experienced jockeys, they could ride to the finish
that's right.
and then negotiate
that's
their
right.
way around the fallen horse. He did explain that as well. So
he didn't... Right, so you've just grabbed the headline, haven't
no,
you?
No, I didn't. Have you read the whole quote?
Yeah, I read the quote, read the
story.
Well,
you were just getting that small bit out.
Well,
it's a great point, Ray.
Oh, here we go. So who's that? Is that Phil Moss come back into the...
Almost back in death.
Well, anyway, what I'll say is, when I first read those quotes, then I thought, oh, come on, Damien, think beyond yourself. That's what I thought.
Okay.
So anyway,
it's fair enough.
I'm just saying that's what I thought when I first read those quotes. 1353 is the open line number, and we want you to keep being a part of the program. By the way, coming up next, Looking forward to speaking to our legend of the game. It's Royce Simmons. Now, you'll probably be back being a Panthers supporter, given Royce's on. I know you've been talking up the Dragons all morning, but he'll be on too. So looking forward to having a chat with Royce. He was out there yesterday at Royal Randwick.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
He told me that.
Yeah, he was going
in.
And he takes all these groups out for the Panthers, of course, and does, you know, goes to the Australian Open tennis, goes to Hong Kong, and goes with the group of the Panther sponsors and so forth. And that's his job, Royce. Not a bad job, is it? So that's what he's... But he went out yesterday because he just wanted to go out. He and his wife stayed in the city just because he thought, well, you know what? I may not give it another chance to see Winks run. So I've got
a lot of people doing now. So.
And, you know, he did the same when he was over in the UK. He went and watched Frankel run.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Frankel once. Yeah.
So he said, no, you know what? I better go and see Frankel.
Yeah. He loves his racing, obviously.
Clearly loves his racing.
Here's one, Jim. Hey, guys, Jack Whiten ruled out for the season, breaking his toe on a trampoline a few years ago.
That's right.
Wouldn't stop him for any other fullback. Cheers, guys. People's Publican from Queanbeyan. He's a good player, Jack Whiten. Tough and hard.
I tell you what, I really only got to appreciate Jack Whiten when I watched them live last week.
He's fierce, isn't he?
There was... Who made a break? I'm trying to think who made a break. Might have been Semi Radradra made a break, and he just went at him.
Puts his body on the line.
Went hard at him.
And same when he's returning the footy, he just runs straight at the line.
And he's a very, very good athlete. Justin Rose 6 under, Sergio Garcia 6 under, Ricky Fowler 5 under, Jordan Spieth 4 under, as is Ryan Moore. Charlie